I was doing just great until Danny Boy. Thanks. I've been asked by Beth and Sheila if I would say a few words. And being a man of few words, I said yes. I'd like to talk a bit today about my big brother. No. I need to say something about Harry. Sorry. I could say that he was a decent man, a gentleman, a nice man. And these would all be true. But you already knew that. Above all things, that he was a loving and compassionate man. Slow to anger. Even when dealing with a smart-aleck teenage brother. I remember when I was about 15, and he had just left the religious life for the monastic life. I was in the dining room of my parents' apartment where we lived, and I was talking to some young girl on the phone. And Harry had his first lady friend. So I'm talking to this girl on the phone, laying on the dining room floor, and he says, "Get off the phone, I need to talk to so-and-so." So I kept on talking, and he says, I need to talk on the phone. I said, the next thing I knew, I'm talking on the phone to this girl, and he's sitting on my chest, and he's got his hands around my head. And he's banging my head on the dining room floor. So I said, "I gotta go." Even as police officers, I saw him spit upon, breaking up an out-of-control party. He wiped the spittle from his face, and he soldiered on, never once giving in to his anger, and never once violating his oath or his principles. It took a lot to bring him to a boil. His greatest love was reserved for his dear Phyllis and their children, both Mac and Walsh children. He would tell me always of his great pride in all of you. He had every right to be so. This extended to his grandchildren as well. As he loved us all, it is incumbent upon us to truly love one another. He wanted that. Because I can attest to the fact that there is a sacred bond, brother for brother, sister for sister, sister for brother. Because in the end, there's a strong shared experience within your family unit. When everyone else is gone, your parents, you have no one left but your brothers or sisters. And now I have none. Harry and I felt the loss of our dear sister all those years ago, but in the end, we had each other. I will try to cope with our mutual loss until I see him again. Once more, I believe with my entire heart, so in his spirit, love one another. Today we mourn his passing and commit him to the God he loved so well. Would that we never had to feel the sting of such a loss, but we have to from time to time, because them's the rules. So Harry, rest. Your long and fruitful life is done. We will never forget you, and we'll always love you until I see you again. Would end every conversation on the phone with saying, "I love you, brother dearest." And I do. I'm sorry. Thank you.
All those stories about Father Harry. I heard something else pop up since I've been up here that When he was in the monastery, he broke his nose. And then when he was a police officer, he broke his nose. So I'm like, what's up with all that? You know? In the monastery, that would be an interesting thing to pursue and find out what happened over there. Father Harry was an amazing person, and it was an honor to know him. I'm with you. No, Father Harry told me something a long time ago that kind of sparked some of the things I want to share with you. When I first was consecrated a bishop, you know, Father Harry knew his way around. And he told me, he says, let me give you some advice. And I said, sure, I'll take all I can get. He says, here's a little principle to live by. He says, see all, keep a lot to yourself, and change a few things. See all, keep a lot to yourself, and change a few things. There's a lot of wisdom in that. Now, a key thing here is when you say see all, you're talking about perspective. I don't know about you, but many times in life we lose perspective. We lose direction. We're directionally challenged. But Father Harry, when he said that, really reminded me to keep my eyes focused on trying to see the big picture. Where is it all going? And as a Christian, you should know basically where it's all going. If you don't know that, then we need to talk. Because he's saying you got to know that there are many paths. There are many choices that we're all faced with. Today, you're faced with some choices. Which path do you go? Psalm 25 in the Living Bible says that God will teach you to choose the best. If you fear the Lord and you love Him, you give your life to Him, He will help you choose the best. Not good and better, but the best. And so that statement from Father Harry just stuck with me all these years. And so I want to talk to you about seeing all, having the right perspective. In Pilgrim's Progress, that famous classic John Bunyan wrote about Bypath Meadow. They're on this journey, they're on the path. The pilgrims are on the path. And then they come to this place that looks like an easier way. It's more comfortable because the road they're on is rocky. There's pain and there's suffering with there, and you have to really gut it out. Then all of a sudden this shortcut comes up. And they say, well, we should take this. We should take Bypath Meadow because it's got grass. Everything's nice on the feet. So they take that. But unfortunately, when they took that, they made a wrong choice. And they ended up in this place called Doubting Castle and Giant Despair. Giant Despair ruled there. And so they were trapped. They were imprisoned. It kind of reminds you of a lot of things going on in our culture today, in the world today. We may have made a wrong decision, and we end up in this Doubting Castle, enslaved. And Giant Despair doesn't play games. He hammers you. A lot of people are in despair. They're wondering what's going on. And why? Because they lose perspective. They get off the path. John 14 says that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And it's a narrow path. Well, Pilgrim and these guys got off of that path. They got off the path. So when Father Harry told me this years ago about seeing all, it reminds me to be careful that you stay on the way of Jesus. Follow Jesus on the way. Because that's the way to life, real life. People want truth and life, but we don't want to follow the way. And there is a way. Now, the Bible is realistic, and it tells us that the basis of things is tragic. It's not happy. Life is tough. So the Bible is realistic. It's not like pessimistic. It's realistic and telling you that the basis of things in this life is tragic. The book of Ecclesiastes talks about that. Everything's vain without your relationship with the true God. Without Jesus, life under the sun, S-U-N, is very, really difficult. Impossible. But in the sun, S-O-N, Jesus, he'll guide you through. So, Father Harry would be speaking now. I think he would be saying, you know, be sure you keep perspective. You stay on the way because life is tragic. And as a policeman, he knew that. Probably police officers know that more than anybody else in our culture. The things you mentioned in your talk. They're rejected, spit on, all kind. You know, the current news situation, we see all that, right? So they put up with a whole lot. And they know that there's something wrong. And that could probably get to them, too. That's why we need a philosophy of life that's realistic. Not some utopian ideal pie in the sky thing, but it works. Because it gives you perspective. Something in this world is broken. And we innately kind of know that, and we're trying to fix everything, and we think we can fix it by reason. Now, reason can guide you through things as they are. There's a lot of very smart people. In spite of the fallenness of the world, they can build big businesses and so on. They're smart. Then they can guide us, but reason cannot explain things the way they are. They can't tell you why things are this way. So it's interesting, Father Harry was a monk, police officer, then a priest. Maybe that progression there as the priest is he's trying to tell us why things are the way they are. Because I've been there and seen the despair of life and the tragedies of life, and I know how to get out of there. And the way they got out of that situation were through the promises of God. At times like this, man, you need the promises of God. That's the key. And so briefly, I want to allude to this passage in Ecclesiastes at the risk of maybe seeming morbid here. I hope you don't get that. But in Ecclesiastes, it says, it's better to spend your time at a funeral than a festival. For you are going to die. You will die. And it's a good thing to think about it while you still have time. Think about the path that we're on. Narrow is the way. Or are we following the way of Jesus? So when Harry said, see all, he's talking about a philosophy of life. And the Bible gives us a philosophy of life, and it's contained, I'll allude to this briefly here. It gives us that in three books in the Bible. The book of Ecclesiastes is about sunset. See, nature, even today, the sun came up, but the sun's going to go down. So Ecclesiastes speaks about the sun will set. And you need faith to live in a life where you know the sun's going to set. The other book is the book of Job. And Job's about the nighttime. And you need hope in the nighttime. This is the nighttime right now. The nighttime. You need hope when the sun goes down. But the good news is that the Song of Solomon teaches us about love. Resurrection. Father Harry, his body's here right now, but he's not here. He's with Jesus. And he had that hope. And I believe that hope in his case was born out of the sense of a tragic sense of life. How could you be a policeman in all this and not see the tragedy, the pain of life, man? You're going through that now. And maybe in deeper ways, when you lose a loved one and so on, that things go bad. Life's tough. But here the Bible is telling us there's a way out of this. And it's real. It's realistic. It's not like, if you'll just do this program, like, look at all the great minds that are trying to solve the world's problems right now. They're trying to solve poverty, war, all these things. The best minds. And they can't do it. Because only Jesus Christ can change your mind. Only Jesus can show you the way. He is the way. There's no other option to that. And so you can respond two ways to this philosophy of life. You can be like Nietzsche, the philosopher, who said the way out of this is the Superman. The Übermensch in German. The Superman. Man can solve this, and you have to get beyond good and evil. And then you'll solve, you realize all this stuff is about Christianity is a myth. That was his thing. So man's the answer. Humanism. The other response is to know that life is tragic, but the way out is redemption in Jesus Christ. Every Sunday we celebrate that with the Eucharist, that Christ is alive. He conquered death by his death. Death is conquered. But the reason it's so painful for us is because fellowship is broken. Now we don't have the fellowship. But it will come again. You will have it when you're with him before Jesus Christ. So the way out of this is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. For God so loved the world, he sent his only son to show us the path. God wants to show us how to live. Father Harry knew this. He's trying to teach me with that Satan, see all. Keep a lot to yourself. Don't shoot your mouth off. Which, you know, I like to do. And, you know, talking out of turn gets you in a lot of trouble. Change a few things. What can we change? What's some little thing maybe we can work on and change? That's a great philosophy. I love that word he gave me. So life is tragic and only God can save us. That's the Christian message. Only Jesus Christ can save us. I can't save myself. And sometimes pain brings us to that conclusion. That's what Job's all about. You come to the conclusion, man, I can't fix this. I don't know about you, but I want to fix things. And there, you have to come to the point, I can't. I can't fix myself, and I can't fix you. As a priest, a bishop, what I can't fix you. Jesus can fix you. And Harry knew this. So think about how, in terms of these three books we're talking about as a philosophy of life, about the sun setting and so on, Jesus Christ was born into a fallen world. The vanity of this world system. That's the sun, that's the Ecclesiastes. That's a sunset right there. He was crucified for our sins. That's the book of Job, suffering. The nighttime. And then he was raised from the dead. That's a Song of Solomon. Faith, hope, and love are contained in these books. Everything we need to live, to get through this, to get through life and the pain, we have to have faith, hope, and love. And these books exemplify that. And they show us a path. If we listen to, that's why in Ecclesiastes, Solomon had everything. Everything. He had a Mercedes. Whatever. He had jewels, women, the whole nine yards. And he said, it's all vanity. Empty. This world is a wilderness without God. So I hear Father Harry still speaking that word to my ear. And just be careful, you know, that you get the big, try to get perspective. It's like there's a traffic jam in the big cities, you know, there's a traffic jam, and then you turn on the news and the Skyline copter in the sky directing traffic says, well, it's all jammed up here, but a few miles up ahead, it's okay. Hope. There's hope in the traffic jam, right? That's what God's saying today. It looks like things are jammed up. Everything's emotions fly everywhere. But in his perspective, it's all clear ahead. But we'll have to go through this. And we can go through this. You can go through it. because Jesus Christ is with you. At the Feast of Tabernacles for the Jews today, even today, back even in the Old Testament, they read the book of Ecclesiastes during the Feast of Tabernacles. And they built little huts, you know, during that time, during the harvest time and so on. And it was to remind them that life is transient. Life is vain. It's short. Therefore, keep your eyes on Jesus. I pray that will happen for us today, that we'll enjoy the life God's given us. And Father Harry's brother said, you know, Father Harry had a short fuse. He you know, not a short fuse. sorry, Harry. And you know he's watching and keeping records. He's up there taking notes. You guys missed this and you missed that. Well, I blew it. So anyway, the point is, Father Harry was long-suffering. But, you know, he always seemed to me to have like a sense of loneliness in his soul. Not that he was lonely with his wife or anything, but about life. There was something, but he just knew. It's like, a lot of times comedians are really prone to depression because they see deeper. And Father Harry always reminded me of that, because he'd always have some Gaelic, Irish saying. You know, he could say something, oh yes, and then he'd rattle off something in Gaelic or something. What is he speaking in tongues? Guy was amazing. He was an amazing guy. He even packed a Derringer. You guys knew, right? He used to take that. See, why would he do that? He knows life is tragic. I don't want to get into some argument here about gun control, but, you know, I mean, that is another issue, but, you know. God bless Father Harry and Phyllis and the family. It's an honor. Sorry. So, in closing, the book of Ecclesiastes says, so what's the conclusion? And it's pretty simple from Solomon's point of view. He says, fear God. You know, that means respect him as your creator. You know? Fear God. Keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Fear God, keep his commandments. For God will bring every work to judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So that's a way we can keep on the path. And we can do that because, you know, people like Father Harry, his example. And I'm going to listen a lot more to a guy like Father Harry. He has major credibility for somebody who's going to give you advice. Because somebody who's been a monk and then he becomes a policeman, and you talk to policemen about certain issues, they know the score. They're street wise. I think Solomon is street wise in what he's writing here. So Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for this special, special time to remember our dear brother, Father Harry. And we just thank you for his life, for his family. And Lord, even though we've lost fellowship with him right now, we know the sun will rise with healing in its wings, and we'll see him again. Help us now, Lord, to follow his advice and to see all, have the right perspective. Give us, God, by your grace, perspective, so we won't take a bypath meadow and end up in Doubting Castle and beat up by the giant of despair. Help us to remember your promises, Lord, that you're with us in all things, and we pray for that, your presence now, in everything we do that follows. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.